Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob Cisternino here for our Big Brother Canada recap, going over everything that happened from the eviction episode of Big Brother and getting you ready for the triple eviction, which is just around the corner. But before we get to tonight's show, I want to take a moment and thank our sponsors for this episode of the podcast. And those are our friends over at Sherry's Berries, because Mother's Day is around the corner. It is a week from Sunday. So go ahead and get your mom something that she's really going to love this year. And those are delicious chocolate covered berries from Sherry's Berries. For our listeners, we've got a great offer of giant freshly dipped strawberries starting at $19.99. That's over a 40% savings. Go to berries.com, click on the microphone and type in the code Reality TV. They've got berries dipped in white milk and dark chocolate goodness, topped with chocolate chips, nuts, decorative swizzle. They are absolutely fantastic. They're giant, fresh, juicy, and delicious. And you will always feel like you are a have, and your mom will too. It'll be better than getting a letter from her in the HOH room when you get some Sherry's berries for your mom for Mother's Day. Here's the way to get this amazing deal. Freshly dipped strawberries starting at $19.99. This offer is for our listeners only when you use the code REALITYTV. Visit berries.com, berries.com. Click on the microphone in the top right corner. Type in Reality TV. Go to berries.com. Click on the microphone and enter our code REALITYTV. Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now, here's the guy who's driving along on Big Brother. Oh no, oh no, it's Marsha the Moose. I'm Rob Cisternino. Hello everybody, welcome back. This is our live Friday night recap of Big Brother Canada 3. Got a fun show here tonight as we get you ready for what appears to be a tsunami of eviction coming to the Big Brother house this upcoming Wednesday. A triple eviction looms over the Big Brother Canada house. Got a fun panel tonight. First off, joining us, we have a special guest with us tonight. He is a guy who's covering all sorts of TV, and in particular, Big Brother Canada. He's done Big Brother Canada exit interviews all along the way and talked to the house guests before they went into the house, in addition to all the coverage he's doing from CarterMatt.com. Welcome our friend Matt Carter.
Hey, Rob. I am really, really excited to be here. I had a really long road trip to get here. Some guy was dressed as a cop stopped me over, and then there was some other woman, and I think her can wanted to eat me or something.
Oh, my God. Okay. Was there a farmer's daughter along the way?
She said she was a farmer's daughter, but she kind of smelled like something else.
She was baked out of her mind. There you go. So welcome, Matt. And then joining us are two of our live feed correspondents are here. Welcome back to the show. One of our Canadian correspondents here is Havish Patel. Havish, how are you?
Good. How are you, Rob? It's fun to be back. Yeah, I can't wait to start talking about Big Brother.
Good. I'm happy you're back. We were a Havish Knots for too long. Yeah. Good. So we're back. We're off the slop, and here's where Havish is again.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Great. And then also joining us back here is the live feed correspondent with the most Big Brother related shirts and paraphernalia. Here is Mikey Dowd. Mikey, how are you?
I'm doing good. Rocking my Devin Has a Daughter shirt, Rob. One love. What up?
One love. That's right. One love. Yes. For Devin Has a Daughter. And Bobby has a catchphrase. Great hashtag. All right. So we've got a lot to unpack tonight as we get you ready for this triple eviction, of course, on a week after Cindy with an S goes home. I did an interview for the very first time on this show. We had exit interviews, and thanks to Scott St. Pierre for all his work behind the scenes with his countrymen and women of pulling strings to make that happen. So thank you to Scott. And if you want to hear our exit interview with Cindy with an S, that's on robhaswebsite.com with an R, and you can go ahead and check that out anytime. And hopefully we'll talk with everybody else the rest of the way. Also, we have a big show coming up on Tuesday. Derek from Big Brother 16 will be joining us to talk about Big Brother Canada. So that should be very fun. First time we've had him on a recap podcast. So looking forward to talking with Derek. That's going to be on Tuesday night at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific. And of course, tonight, if you're watching us live, we'll have our amazing race coverage coming to you at 9:15 p.m. Eastern, 6:15 p.m. Pacific. But I think I might be the only person watching Amazing Race on Pacific time. Okay. So we got the chat room open on robswebsite.com. Plus, we're taking your tweets, hashtag RJP, and on our YouTube channel at robswebsite.com/YouTube. All right. Matt, let's go ahead and just jump into this. And what I think is really the top story in Big Brother right now, we are headed towards an unprecedented triple eviction. In your mind, is this an exciting idea or is Big Brother gone off the rails?
It's I don't want to say it's infuriating, but I'm not that, it's hard for me to get that excited about the idea of people just getting sent out of the house willy-nilly. There's no real time for two people collectively to strategize over the course of an hour. I mean, I know a lot of people love the double evictions. I've always been kind of okay on them. It gives us like really great dramatic moments, but I always prefer when people have time to fight for their lives. And the idea of two people fighting for their lives, like let's say, you know, if somebody who was we like this week goes home and then somebody we really like goes home next week, it's possible that, you know, three fan favorites could be gone in 2 weeks and we could have a kind of predictable, slow, just trudge to the finish line. And I don't like that idea at all.
Well, I actually really like the double evictions, at least on the U.S. Big Brother, because it's like they always know that it's coming. Everybody is always has their game face. And a lot of times in recent seasons, it's almost like the only times that something unpredictable happens where somebody could win something unpredictable. And then also then there's a veto where somebody is really after fighting for their lives on the spot. And it's led to some really interesting moments over the past couple seasons. But do we have any idea how a triple eviction will work, Matt?
My understanding on it is that it's going to start off kind of like a normal episode. We're going to have an eviction. And then I think there's going to be a head of household. So somebody else will be crowned HOH. I'm guessing probably similar to US formula. I think you guys have speculated on the show a little bit about this already. Probably be something like trivia or something that can be done really quickly. And then that HOH will nominate three people. There's still going to be a POV, and then two people at the end of that are going to be sent home. So if there was ever a time you wanted to destroy a showman, break up an alliance, this is the time for that.
So Havish, do the house guests have any idea that this is on the way?
They don't know that a triple eviction is on the way, but they're guessing that it's going to be a double right now.
Why? What happens that makes the house guests think that it's going to be a double eviction?
Well, they're all like super fans, so they know that there's double evictions and they know that it's coming
up. And there's like 6,000 people in the house and the finale is in 4 weeks.
Yeah, that too.
But why do they like key in on like, how come they don't ever think it's a double eviction on a week? It's not a double eviction.
I don't know. I think they're just expecting it to show up right now. And
they're expecting the unexpected.
Yeah. This is not showing up, so then they're kind of getting scared about what's going to happen next. So they aren't really, they're just assuming that there's going to be another double eviction.
And Mikey, do we have any sort of a precedent for this on any Big Brother that we've seen before?
I mean, triple evictions kind of pretty excessive on anything I've seen. I mean, on finale nights for like the UK or Australia, you might see a numerous amount of people at the end so they can all have votes between them, but then they just like let them go one by one. But I don't think anything on like the middle of a season where you had as many house guests go. I could be completely wrong, but as far as I'm aware, I don't think so.
So, Matt, will it be the HOH will nominate three people and then everybody will have to go and vote for two people to evict? Is that what your sense is?
That's my sense. I mean, that the HOH is going to have a whole lot of power. And I think if we've seen people drunk with power before, but we're going to see like inebriated, almost passing out on the floor sort of power going on if this is the case.
Wow.
From the rumors I've heard as far as like how it's going to be the voting to evict, I don't know if it's going to be you vote to evict two people or if I've heard rumors that it might be you just vote to save someone while there are three people on the block and only one person gets saved.
That's my guess.
Wow. Okay. Well, this is, does that change anything in terms? I guess it's all the same, right?
I mean, yes and no. I mean, I kind of like it a little more that if you have to vote to save, because then it shows that that person deserved to stay. But I mean, I think no matter what, someone's going to get screwed because they're going to end up with one or maybe just two votes or something like that. It's going to be bad unless it's a showman. So I don't think that the Big Brother fans are going to be too happy with it.
Yeah. And Matt, do we think that the power of veto will be in play, or do we think that it will be not only a, you know, the back part of a triple eviction, but will also be a double instant eviction?
I believe that the veto is being played. That's what I've seen on the website. That's all the indications that I've heard. I mean, I can imagine how Twitter would explode if we're talking instant triple eviction, but I think there's going to be a veto.
Wow, this is going to be a pretty jam-packed hour here. We're going to, you know, have a live eviction. Then we're going to have an HOH competition. Then HOH is going to nominate two people. And then we're going to have a veto competition. I guess it's pretty much the same thematically as the Big Brother double eviction. But boy, that extra eviction in there is a lot to handle. Let's talk a little bit about Cindy. And then I got to open this up to the live feed stuff, because we're going to have a hard time talking about what's going to happen next without getting into who the HOH is and all that stuff. Matt, what was your take on Cindy? You talked to her in the pregame. Did you have a good finger on the pulse that it was going to be a tough go of it for Cindy in the house?
Yeah, I mean, I got to be honest. Cindy, when I first talked to her, really, like, one of the very first things she says to me is, hi, I'm Cindy with an S. And Maggie, that's with an S. Be sure you write down that that is with an S. And I mean, I wanted to reply, but you know, we get press releases that it tells me the spelling of your name. It's going to be okay. And I didn't realize this was going to be her whole shtick all season long. But I really, that was kind of off-putting to me during the pregame, because it was just kind of one of those sort of things where I want to get answers from you. I want to find out who you are, how you're playing, you know, what your strategy is going to be. And she seemed like she was really playing a character there. But over the course of the game, I liked her a lot as entertainment. Tremendous entertainment, lots of fun. Not a remotely good Big Brother player in my mind. Played way too hard, way too fast. She never should have got rid of Jordan. I think she made the wrong decisions when it comes to targeting people. She did not follow the Rob Cesternino strategy of falling asleep.
No.
She should have fallen asleep the first time.
She was on, like, drinking coffee. Yeah. She was caffeinated for the entire time she was there. Mikey, do you think, is it a fair comparison to say she was almost like a pow-pow?
Maybe. I think that she had more game than Pow Pow, to be fair. I mean, like, she, at least we saw her actively trying a lot to, you know, try to change her fate. I mean, with Pow Pow, you know, it was, she was a DJ, but
Yeah. Cindy was better than Pow Pow, but I feel like maybe, like, you know, just too much too fast in the Big Brother house, and really not a great adjustment from after you go in there and then it doesn't work the first time. She really wasn't able to take it and tone it down for more than a couple days on the second time back around. Matt, was that surprising to you that the approach didn't change between the two stints in the house, or is that asking for the impossible?
I think people can change when they go back into the house, especially somebody who's had a lot of time to sit and think about it. But it's almost sort of a groupthink sort of thing, where she was in sequester, and I think being in sequester with everybody really hurt her dramatically, because she was getting this whole mentality about, oh, the chop shop, I got to go after the chop shop, I got to go in there and make big moves, there's this pressure on me to go in there and make big moves. And because of that, I don't really think that she thought a lot of things through. Like with Jordan, if she had try to stick with Jordan, I don't think she really read ahead to the possibility that if these people think she's cutthroat enough to get rid of her showman's partner in the game and be the swing vote who's determining that this happens, she's going to go after anybody. She's going to get rid of anybody in the house. I mean, I don't know how she didn't see that coming.
Yeah. One of the interesting things from this past week that I saw, I think it was Hamster Watch tweeted a stat of that Pilar was the first, or I don't know if this is a first. She was one of the few HOHs that did not have a confessional in an episode that they were HOH. Matt, how unprecedented is this in your mind?
It's insane. I can't I can't think of an episode off the top of my head. I mean, I'm not an edgy guy. I don't have the full board of confessionals in front of me, but I cannot remember it. I mean, maybe I think part of it's Feely's just not giving them a lot of great confessional material. I mean, my pregame interview, her interview with me was basically 2 minutes long because she gave me like one or two word answers and then laughed to herself like the rest of the time.
Well, how does she get cast? I mean, she's attractive, but it's not like, you know, I don't want to, this is a dicey territory, but is she so attractive that you could overlook all of the game deficiencies and lack of outgoing personality?
I want to say it's almost the Tala effect, because she told me she wanted to be like Tala. Mm-hmm. So I think they thought they were going to get talking with Tala.
She'll be wacky. Yeah.
Yeah. Running around doing crazy things. I think the showman's factor is part of it. They knew she would get into a showman. So I think they just wanted this wild, crazy character. And, you know, they're not really giving them very much booze this season. So we're not really getting a lot of chance with that. A lot of Tala stuff was very much booze influenced.
Right. And she's going to be in the final three in this game, correct?
Absolutely, 100%.
So does that speak to, Mikey, do you think that we are headed towards a final three this season?
I don't.
I think we are.
I mean, the timing, I think you'd be right to speculate that we have way too many weeks left and way too many people, not enough weeks left and way too many people, but... I mean, it's always possible with this show, to be honest with you, but I don't, considering we've never seen it in Big Brother before, I don't think so.
That's all the more reason they can do it. Havish, wouldn't that be a Twistos twist of, hey, oh, guess what, everybody? First time in Big Brother history, it's a final three.
Yeah, we haven't seen the triple eviction before, and that's going to happen. So it'd be great to see a three-person final.
Yeah, we'll call it the Twistos Tryst. That's the final three. Twistos Triple Tryst. Okay. All right. So let's get into, I'm going to hit the buzzer here for the live feed so we can talk about this and talk about what's coming up on this week where we're headed towards the triple eviction. All right, Havish, give us the breakdown. We saw the start of the HOH competition. It's one of my pet peeves about Big Brother Canada this season that they can't just give us the end of the HOH. Like, oh, stay tuned, everybody. Come back in 3 days and you'll see the end of this competition. All right, Havish, who is the HOH?
Right now, the HOH is Kevin.
Kevin. All right, interesting. And what are we doing? What is Kevin thinking this week?
So Kevin's thinking... he's going to nominate Brittany and Bobby right now. So they're nominated right now.
Brittany and Bobby, are those the targets?
No, they're not. Not necessarily. He's done a little interesting thing. He's gone to the diapers and said that he wants to backdoor Godfrey. Then he's gone to Godfrey and said, you're not going up this week, and that Sarah's going to be backdoored. Then he's gone to Sarah and said, do you really think if I was going to backdoor Godfrey, I'd put Bobby and Brittany up? So I think he's hinting at a Bruno backdoor right now.
All right, Mikey, what's your read on this situation?
I have a similar read for sure as Havish. I think that he's been definitely playing his cards safe. He wants to know what's going to happen in the veto competition. So once he finds out who wins and where this is definitely going to go, I think that's going to depend on what his move is going to be. I mean, the safe move for him is to get out Godfrey, because that is what Bruno, Bobby, Sarah and Brittany all want, but in the diaper alliance, Zach, you know, who knows when he wants to attack Bobby and Bruno. But yeah, I think I kind of trailed off from where I was talking about in the first place. Okay. Yeah, I completely agree with Ash.
All right. Matt, tell me about your read on Kevin. You talked to him before he went into the house, and I feel like he's been such a tough person to really figure out if he's a good player or if he's not this season. What was your thought on him going in and ultimately what he's done in the house?
Going in, I had a little bit of Garrett vibes. Garrett,
No.
I thought this guy was going to kind of go in and be a little bit of a train wreck. He was comparing himself to Arlie, saying he was going to be really great, fantastic television. And I think as a player, he's decent. I mean, he does some things pretty well, but... we got to remember, one of his biggest moves was sitting in the bathroom at the right time while he overheard things. I mean, he used the information pretty well when he got it, but I think he's been a little bit overrated on the show. They've made him a little bit more of a mastermind than I think he's being on the feeds.
Okay. So what about as the HOH here and potentially wanting to target Bruno? When I talked to Cindy, I asked her, Cindy, who do you think is going to win the game? She said Bruno.
And I know Jordan said the same thing. Jordan said that he thought Bruno was going to win the game. And so Bruno's getting a lot of love. I think what Kevin has to be careful of is you don't want to be the wild card too much, because if your own alliance doesn't know what you're doing, then that may be problematic to you at some point a little bit down the road. Not necessarily saying next week, but once you get to, you know, Final Six, a place where they can, if they don't know how you're going to react in a Final Four, Final Five situation, it's easy to cut you there. And I think Godfrey is the safe choice. Zach wants him gone. It builds trust there. Bruno's a big move. If you can get him out, maybe put him against Brittany, that's great. But if you put Bruno against Bobby, there's a good chance Bruno's staying.
Yeah. Mikey, do you sense that Kevin would have the votes to get Bruno out?
It depends on obviously who he's sitting next to. If he's sitting next to Bobby, I mean, I don't see why they wouldn't vote out Bruno. I mean, because he's clearly the bigger threat out of the two in that duo. So that's why I would assume that they would vote him out. But if he's and Bobby on top of that is saying all the secret veto stuff, so that might muddy the waters. But if they put up Bruno, I have to imagine they have to strike. They're not just going to put him up and let him stay in the house.
You know, and Havish, I made the comparison a couple of weeks ago when Jordan was up on the block that everybody wanted to get Zach out of the house. And, you know, I compared it to the situation that the great Frankie Grande was in during Big Brother 16 when everybody was mad at him. And then he ended up telling everybody about his sister. And then he sort of like people weren't that worried about him anymore. Has Zach cooled off?
He's cooled off a little bit, but if the Diaper Alliance does not win HOH, then he's probably going to go up. Anybody else is going to put him up.
Yeah, so but far. He's in a good spot where he could win HOH again. And, you know, it's been a couple of weeks since he hasn't won. He's back in the mix. You know, he was in such danger the week that Pilar won HOH because he couldn't play in the HOH. But now he has a good shot to, could you imagine if he wins the HOH and he sends two people home that he wants out of the house?
Well, if he does that, then I think he'd be probably pretty safe. Though I think the only person who'd go after him, if he took out, let's say, Bruno and Bobby, I think Sarah and Brittany would still go after him. I think Godfrey would still go after him. And then he might get backstabbed by Kevin, too. Who knows?
Havish, will your Canadian countrymen and women, will you guys storm the global headquarters in Toronto if Godfrey is eliminated as part of the triple elimination on Wednesday?
Well, I like him as TV. He's very entertaining, but I am not going to storm the headquarters of Global. I think there are a lot of entertaining people still left in the house to root for.
Yeah. So, Matt, could you talk about the Godfrey phenomenon? Did you see this coming?
I want to say yes, because I loved Godfrey pregame. I thought there was almost zero chance that Godfrey was even going to be around come like Easter weekend. He was saying pregame he wanted to go in there and cause chaos and be almost kind of like this Russell Hands like agent in there to just mess with everybody's head. And I was like, okay, now everybody's going to see right through this guy. But he went to sleep. He went to sleep for a while. Now everybody knows him. I mean, I love him. He's great on the feeds. He tells really funny stories. He's really charismatic. I mean, is he a great player? Not really. He doesn't really ever seem to, outside of his, you know, saving himself, which was more other people's doing than himself. But he's like, I mean, you've used the Zach Rantz comparison. It's a little bit like Zach Rantz. I don't think he's as unpredictable as Zach Rantz.
Yeah. I think he's probably a better player, dare I say, than Zach. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, I think both are really good TV, but I can't see Godfrey proclaiming that he's the saboteur, even though he's not, or saying he's the relative of Amanda Zuckerman.
Right, right. Yeah. I do have to say, I loved Godfrey in the scene with Brittany talking about if she would date him or not. Mike, is that real? Does Godfrey really have a thing for Brittany, or was he just playing?
Godfrey tends to flirt with a lot of the girls in the house. Brittany's definitely one of them, but I think he definitely turns it up for her because she seems to be the one that responds most like, she gives him the most response that he's looking for. So I think that's why he's kind of picked Brittany as that person.
But if Godfrey's thing is all about breaking up showmances, if he was to end up getting one of these women in the house, would he be a hypocrite?
It's all depending on the fact that he's going to get one of the women in the house. I mean, I don't think any of the girls in there are going to be going for the Godfrey, but you never know. I've seen weirder things on Big Brother.
The Chicken Whisperer. He could do it. He could do it. Okay. all right. So who do you guys think is best set up here headed into this triple eviction? Okay. Kevin, obviously, he can't play in the HOH. Does anybody have a person that jumps out to them as being in a great position heading into Wednesday night?
Well, I don't necessarily think that Kevin's in a great position, considering, especially since he can't compete for HOH. Because I think Zach, if he were to win the veto, then Kevin would be one of the best alternatives to go after. But if I were to say the best position, in my opinion, I would say like maybe a Willow, because she doesn't seem to have anyone that says they're definitely going after Willow.
Okay. Willow set up. So do you guys feel like Willow is in a good position, Mikey, because she's safe or because she's in a good spot to actually be this HOH on the back part of the triple eviction?
I'm not counting her out to win an HOH. I mean, she's clearly physical enough. She hasn't done super well in competitions, but I just consider her set up well in the sense that no one, I think, is going to nominate her, even though there's three potential nominees, which makes a lot more people have options. So, I mean, if a lot of other people start seeing that other people nominate them, whereas Willow, I think it's pretty safe no matter who wins.
Havish, the show made a big point of Willow and Sarah as a pair. Is that a real pair? Are they still working together?
Yeah, they're very much working together and they're very much really, really close. They have this type of bond and it's really interesting to watch. They trust each other 100%, it looks like. So it should look good moving forward.
Matt, am I crazy to not say, you know, we've talked about this so much in U.S. Big Brother about, oh, there'll never be a girls' alliance. There'll never be a girls' alliance. I mean, wouldn't it make the most sense right now for, you know, the showmance women in Ashley and Pilar to get together with Willow and Sarah and Brittany and vote out all the guys in the house?
Oh, it would absolutely make a ton of sense. I don't think there's any way that they'll do it, but I think it makes a ton of sense because, like you said, you know, a lot of these people are people who are probably going to be, unfortunately, in some ways, overshadowed at the end of the game. Like, I think Sarah's playing a wonderful game, but I don't know how many people are necessarily seeing that right now. I just, my concern is that Pilar is so easily influenced, whether it's by Kevin, whether it's by Ashley, whether it's by someone else, that I have a hard time seeing her gravitate. Ashley, I could see her maybe being a little bit more flexible. She strikes me as a little bit of a better strategic player.
But if all the girls could get on board with that, couldn't they do get everybody pumped up? Girl power, we could do this? Survivor Micronesia?
I would cheer up and down if it happens. I am just not that optimistic about it so long as Kevin and Zach are around.
Okay. Gotta get knock these guys out of the house, I think. All right, let's bring in some of the questions from the listeners of the podcast. And let me start off with Tony1996, who says, why can't we have a new HOH at the end of the episode? It's so annoying. They've been doing it for the whole season. I'm pretty sure they did it most of the last season, too. And maybe even the U.S. Big Brother might have done it once or twice. It's very annoying. And, you know, it's not as bad for us on this podcast because we end up, you know, podcasting about it after the HOH is already announced. So we could just say, all right, well, let's talk about it. But on a lot of if they do it on the U.S. Big Brother and we podcast right after, that's especially annoying. So I don't know if there's like one person who's like, damn, you know, I wasn't going to watch Big Brother on Sunday. Got to tune in and find out who the HOH is. Got to do that. What'd you guys think of the HOH that they ended up doing with Cindy being the person who was the decision maker? Matt, did you like that challenge?
At first, part of me is always kind of like, oh, is it a great idea to get that many, you know, thoughts about where Cindy's head is at going into the jury, because then you may try to manipulate your thoughts to her at the end of the game and so on. But it just created such a fun moment with Godfrey, like, putting down 5%, acting like she was completely soulless towards Jordan, that there's potential here for fun compared to every billion other question HOH, and I remember almost none of them.
Yeah, I liked it too. I thought that was good. Did Havish or Mikey, did either of you guys not like it?
No, I liked it. I think it reminded me a lot of the HOH comp from All Stars, where they had, like, Allison, after she got evicted, got to do some sort of questions or whatnot. I thought it was pretty good. I mean, I don't know if they could hear Cindy. If that were the case, probably not. But
okay. All right. Let's take a question from John Clark. Hi, Rob. Do you think your winner pick, Willie, can make it to the final two on the Sideshow? Gary suggested that she will definitely win if she makes it there. By the way, I'm a big Willow fan. Can Willow make it to the final two? And if so, what's the best path for her to get there? Matt, do you have a thought on this?
Yes, because like you, I have a lot of pressure on Willow winning because she was my pre-show pick. And I've been right the past two seasons with this. So if I lose, everything comes crashing down.
Triple crown.
I think the best thing for her to do is to try to do maybe a little bit of something you talked about, to get in good with Ashley, to try to just let the Godfreys, the Brunos, the Bobbies of the world eventually kind of get taken out, try to win an HOH or two. I think her ideal end game would be to try to get to the end, if ever possible, with either Peely or maybe a Brittany, somebody who has been deemed as either being easily influenced, or Sarah called Brittany emotional, somebody like that. And then she can at least state some cases of some alliances she was in. She's going to have a tough time, though, because early on in the game, everybody kind of just thought of her as, oh, her head's all over the place. She's melting down all the time. And I'm not that optimistic about my pick Willow anymore.
Yeah, I think that she might, like, it really would just depend on who she sat next to, because I feel like if she partners up with a Sarah, for instance, Matt, could she beat Sarah in the end?
I don't think so. I think Sarah has just been so good. Like, she's been such a good strategic player that even some of these chop shop people have to give her a little bit of respect. And we also don't know what the Diaper Alliance, I even hate calling it that, but what the Diaper Alliance members are going to be like as jurors. Like, is Zach and his, Olympus-sized ego going to be okay by being blindsided, especially if he thinks, Willow is with him? I mean, is he going to hold that against her? I just feel like Sarah's going to be able to state her case as to why she should win better than Willow.
Okay. All right. Well, what a story that would be. Havish, is that a showmance? Is that actually turning into anything?
It kind of is. I think that Ashley and Pilar have realized now that they can't beat Kevin and Zach. So they are moving towards Willow, and they've actually put it out there where they want to work with Sarah and try to form this girls' alliance. But it just hasn't come to fruition yet.
But is Sarah and Willow going to be a showmance?
Yeah, I think a little bit, yes. I think they're going to be super tight, and I don't think anybody's going to get in between them right now.
I know. Mikey, what a story that would be, right?
Yeah, that would be crazy. I mean, especially considering they were kind of like counted out so early on, especially Willow, where she's just called a floater by all the house guests. I think it would be really, I enjoy a Willow-Sarah final two.
Yeah. Wow, okay. All right, let's go to Jarek O, who says, why was Sarah allowed to drink the wine if she was a have-not? Mustard water is one thing, but wine? Matt, should Sarah have been forced to drink mustard water?
Only if Paul Jackson personally delivers it to her. By the way, I don't have any clue why in the world she was allowed to drink that wine. That has been driving me nuts.
Let me go out on a limb and guess why she was allowed to drink the wine. Because she's on a TV show, and the producers were hoping that two girls were going to kiss if they drank enough of it.
Yeah, what am I thinking? No. You were correct. Sir.
I think you are have not with an asterisk, and that if there's going to be a lesbian showmance on Big Brother, then that asterisk is you are free of your have not. That's the ultimate slop pass.
They'll bring you a round of ribs.
Yes. That Big Brother will look the other way on any infraction if Willow would like to pursue that. Okay. This is from Leighton Jansen, who says, who is going to get screwed at the triple eviction? Okay. Who is walking into the Big Brother Canada red wedding, Havish?
Like I said before, I think Zach and maybe even Kevin, if they realize that they're really tight together, which they already do, they're probably like anybody outside of the Diaper Alliance, they're going to put them up. I think people inside the Diaper Alliance may take a shot at Bruna and Bobby, though. So you've got those two people, those four people who are in danger, I think. I don't think there's going to be a shot at Sarah yet.
Okay. So. Matt, who do you think is walking into the ambush on Wednesday night?
Yeah, I think it's going to depend heavily on HOH, but yeah, I mean, Kevin and Zach are in deep, like really, really, really deep. And unless somebody in that alliance wins, I mean, one of them is absolutely screwed. And if the other one wins the veto, I mean, I think there's a chance that they'll just take out a showman. Like, that's a way that somebody like a Peely or an Ashley could be taken out there. But I think they're in huge danger. I think Bruno is in enormous danger if he doesn't get taken out this week. Well, I mean, there's no better opportunity to take out a guy who's so beloved in the house than a triple eviction. They can't get the emotional manipulation thing going on so quick.
Yeah, how would you do it? Would you just put up three threats and say, do that? Or would you put a pawn up also and tell everybody, hey, I'm putting this person up as a pawn. Don't vote for them or save them.
It's complicated. I would just put up as many threats as I can, maybe put up, you know, a Kevin, a Zach, and then an Ashley or a Peely. Put up the people you want to get sent home because you know you're at least going to get one of them home, gone from the game. And then you can always target somebody else who is in the Diaper Alliance, or if it's one of the Diaper Alliance people that win, you can just get up somebody else who you would be fine with getting rid of. There's just such clear divisions in the house right now that I don't think it has to be that complicated.
So how many people are we down to in the house right now, Matt? Do you know?
I'm trying to count off the top of my head here, which is really, really terrible to do.
Havisham, Mike, do you have the number on this?
I think there's... I have to count.
Yeah, 10.
I have 10. All right, yeah. So after the triple eviction, we'll be down to 7. Does that get us back on pace, Matt?
It gets us closer on pace. I mean, there's still only, you know, a short amount of time
the
here.
The finale is 3 weeks from Wednesday.
Yeah, 3 weeks from Wednesday. That's insane. I've been all aboard the final three train ever since I found out that Jordan was going to be the first person in the jury. Because Big Brother Canada, they want to be the one who does everything different. They want to be the craziest, twistiest, mind-numbingest thing that known to mankind. So I think they would love to do a final three, and that's the direction I see it going. Maybe I'm surprised they'll do some other crazy, you know, quadruple, quintuple elimination and nobody goes home the rest of the month. I have no idea.
Wow. Will we ever see a quadruple elimination, Mikey?
I hope not.
Is Allison Grodner taking notes right now?
We can get a 2-hour episode or anything longer than an hour. I'd be probably okay with it as long as it's normal format. But yeah, triple seems excessive enough, let alone a quadruple.
Allison Grodner is up in her office. Get me Twistos on the phone. We're going to blow the doors off this thing. 20 house guests, quadruple eviction. Wow. Rhaegar Targaryen, the great prince, wants to know, is Zach playing one of the worst strategic games of all time? Is he the mad king of Big Brother? Ashley and Kevin have been trying to convince him that Bruno and Bobby are coming after the diapers, but he still thinks that he is golden sitting in the middle of the house. All right. Mikey, what's your take on that? Is Zach really doing a terrible job here? We know he did so bad during his eviction or his HOH week.
Yeah, definitely. Maybe one of the worst HOH weeks of all time. I don't think he's one of the worst of all time by any means. In fact, I'm probably wearing a shirt of someone who's probably a little worse. But I would say that he's definitely not playing a very good game. And if he truly doesn't believe that Bobby or Bruno are coming after him, then he's playing even worse than I assume, because that's just ridiculous at this point.
Okay. All right. Here's a question from Luke Adams. Is there any possibility of the Girls Alliance forming? Peely and Ashley said that they know they can't beat the showmances, and Willow has bonds with both of them, Sarah and Brittany. That's what I want to know. But we're putting it out there. Maybe maybe we can put it out into the world. The law of attraction. Maybe somebody will pick up on that. Okay. Edward Giordano says, if you were Sarah, who would be your focus on the triple eviction? All right. What do you think, Matt? You think Sarah's playing a great game?
Yes. Sarah's a focus. I mean, her focus, obviously, it needs to be on the Diaper Alliance. But I think specifically, if you want to set yourself up for a women's alliance, you want to try to keep Ashley and Peely if you can. But given the way that things are going, I think she has to put one of them up as a pawn. So I think she has to go with Zach, Kevin, and one of them. I would say maybe Peely, because Ashley, I think, is somebody she can work with a little bit better. And then you just have to hope that one of those two guys don't win the veto, and then you're set up pretty well. It's too difficult to not nominate them at this point, because if she nominates anybody on the outside, then it's like a domino effect. You get all the other allies getting upset with you, and that just won't end well for her.
You know who I bet is probably watching this season with a very vested interest in this outcome is Sarah's weed guy. I mean, he may just be hitting the lottery. If this works out with Sarah end up winning this thing, boy, guy is going to be a made in the shade if that's the case. Could really clean up that guy.
Employee of the month.
Yeah. Angel Chick. Yeah. Angel Check 736 says, what do you think of Bobby that volunteers to go up as the pawn? Did Bobby go up to volunteer to be a pawn, Havish?
Yes, he did. Skipped over that a little bit. Sorry about that. Yes, so it was actually interesting. Kevin went up to Bobby and Bruno, and I think Zach was there as well, outside in the backyard, and he was just going over a bunch of nominations, and Bobby just blurted out, I was like, I could go up against Brittany, and you can have me there so that I can win veto. And that was his whole plan, whereas so you could have another person up there, another strong competitor, help you win that veto. Mm. And that's why he volunteered himself. Matt, but I think it was a dumb move.
When you spoke with Bobby pregame, what did you think of him?
He's a great guy if you want to go rock climbing. He's a great guy if you want to just hang out in his parents' basement, play some foosball, you know, throw around for a while. In the game, he's awful. Like, I would want him out if I was one of these other people not in the diaper life, just because I don't know for absolute certainty where his head is at. I'm not surprised the guy is still running around doing the chop shop sign all over the place, because he still seems to be somewhat a belief that that's happening. He's just such a wild card, and he's a terrible strategist, and he's like openly throwing challenges because he got so bitter that he got put on the block last time after one. He's on his own planet. He's not in the Big Brother house.
Well, what's worse, Bobby doing the chop shop or Kevin doing the fortress and he's the only person in the fortress?
I think Kevin's is worse, because Kevin has the impression of himself that he is a really great player. I don't think Bobby ever has said that he's the best player in Big Brother history.
Okay.
Close.
Okay. All right. This is from Scott J, who says, what does Sarah need to do to get to the end? Will she turn on Britt, do you think? All right. So, Matt, is that the path for Sarah? Does she have to turn on Brittany?
I don't think she has to turn on Brittany. I think it's good to keep Brittany around for as long as you can make sure that she is not detrimental to your game. I mean, if she has any outbursts, if she starts to talk around with other people, then maybe you consider breaking a move. But I think you make Willow your number one strategic ally and use her relationships, kind of keep Brittany around as long as you possibly can. Because if I was in the final three, you know, Sarah, Willow, and Brittany, I would much rather sit at the end of Brittany than Willow, because at the moment, Willow actually seems to be playing the game more.
Yeah. All right. Let's take a few more questions here tonight on our Friday night Big Brother recap. This is from BDCCAM. Says, I think Peely was cast as the Jordan role, a really clueless player and charming, lovable. How dare you? Most genuine person in the cast, but too nice for the game. Matt, are you excited for Jeff and Jordan on Marriage Boot Camp 3 coming to WeTV?
Only if there are continued Spice and Hour discussions about it.
Oh, there will be. There will be. Oh,
in that case, yes, very much excited. I would much rather just have Spice and Beck in, though. Yeah. I mean, I can imagine things going south for a couple of relationships and then Jeff going up to them and being like, sorry, you know, single and ready to mingle.
Yeah. Is anybody in this house single and ready to mingle? That would be very exciting. Can't wait to see how that is going to go. Because I think like Kendra Wilkinson and Hank Basquette are in the house, right?
Yeah, that's right.
That'll be good. That'll be good. There's a lot to talk about there. It could be some primetime spice and hour gold coming on Marriage Bootcamp 3. Sports lover. Question, Rob. Because we will have a 10-person jury. What would happen in the event of a 5-5 tie? We won't have a 5-5 tie because I think it'll be a final three, but what will happen in the event of a 4-4-2 tie, Matt?
My guess would be Canada votes.
Canada votes.
You can't do something like, okay, we're going to bring in the Ginger Ninja and he's going to vote or something. So
604 proper. Yeah. Willow, I'm voting for you. Yeah, Chop Shop all the way.
Yeah, it's got to be Canada.
Okay. And I would also think that you could, in the final three scenario, you could have the other people who cast the votes for the two people that voted for Peely. They can vote again and split up the tie. All right. And also, that you does anybody disagree with the statement? There is no chance. All right, let me hear that you guys are going to disagree. I'm going to put a statement. Peely will be in the final three of this season.
There is a better chance for all of you entering Big Brother Canada this season than Peely going home anytime before that.
who would waste their HOH on Peely?
No one.
And in that way, she is the Tala of this season.
She's right. She's blown my mind. Been wrong this whole time.
I did not know that. Yeah. Okay. This is from Louis8390 says, is the triple eviction going to be like the Utopia bloodbath where the show is immediately canceled following the eviction episode? In all seriousness, my question is, how many showmances do you see surviving the triple eviction? Oh, the Utopia bloodbath. Yes. That was on Halloween night, I believe. And the host of Utopia was dressed like a vampire. And it was like, we're shaking it up. And then like the next day, they canceled Utopia. I think it was actually that Sunday they canceled Utopia. That we didn't get through the weekend. But you know, I don't even remember what the question was. Sorry, Scott, do we still have it? Yes. How many showmances do you see surviving the triple eviction? All right, give me a number. Havish, how many showmances will survive the triple eviction?
So if we include Willow and Sarah, I think one.
Willow and Sarah are the one?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, Matt, would you disagree?
I would say two. I think that it's possible that we'll get rid of both the Diaper Alliance showmances, but I have a feeling one of them plus Sarah and Willow will probably remain.
Okay. And Mikey?
Yeah, that sounds about right. I'm so glad for the Utopia shout out. I don't know if you were around earlier, Rob, when I was talking about there was a member of Utopia who actually applied to be on BB17. I'm super excited to see that.
Why? Who from Utopia applied to be on BB17?
It was Bella.
Oh, wow. Wow, that would be so exciting.
My feeds have never been better.
Wow, that would be so exciting. What was her official title? That she was the disaster person.
Survivalist
Bella. Okay, let's do two more questions here tonight. 604 Macho Man Proppa says, does the increase in twist this year have anything to do with the move from Slice to Global, or is this determined by BB production team that is independent of the network? Matt, do you have any sense of how this works? Does somebody run Big Brother and they worked for Slice in the past and that they now are the same people who are the production team who now work for Global, or are there different people running the show this year at Global than were at Slice?
My understanding is that Insight Productions is the production company behind the show, and I believe they're the same people who are, for the most part, involved in both seasons. So I think the people running the actual day-to-day content on the show is the same. I mean, Shaw Media owns both Slice and Global, so I think it's the same executives that are mostly working on it. I think the twist, maybe that's a little bit of Global. I think that's just them, you know, having a little bit of cake and thinking, oh, this tastes tasty. I'm just going to eat the entire cake right now. I think the problem I've mostly had with the move to Global is more that it feels like in terms of kind of toning the show down, Big Brother Canada on Slice was almost, you know, it was like you were taking a shot of hard whiskey because there was, you know, more profanity. You had Arlie's butt running around the screen, and now it's a lot more censored. It's a little bit more like, you know, one of those watered down beers you get at like a sports game, and they're hiding stuff from us on the feed.
So Slice is more like an IPA?
Slice is the more hardcore of the two.
Wow. Now, is it true that the chairman of Global TV is M. Night Shyamalan? is there any truth to that rumor?
I hear so, and I hear it at the end of this season. We're going to realize that it's exactly like the end of The Village, and everybody is just going to scream and destroy their TVs in rage.
So basically, they've all been living in a different time. Is that what happened? I thought you were going to say that they were all dead the whole time.
Very true. But where's Bruce Willis?
They were all dead. All right. Last question here tonight. This is from Kennedy Turner. With so many twists this season, will we place an asterisk by this winner's name? With so few twist-free weeks, will winning the game indicate playing Big Brother well or just surviving these twists? All right. Let's go. Let me go down the line. Matt, should there be an asterisk next to the winner of Big Brother Canada 3?
Absolutely not. I mean, I don't love the billions of twists or whatever, but this is what this game is. If you want to have a kind of relatively twist-free season, that's what Big Brother Canada, I mean, Big Brother US is for the most part. So, I mean, this is just what this show is. And I mean, they're, like I said, they're eating all this cake. They're not going to stop eating the cake now because people are complaining. This is the way it is.
Havish, if Sarah wins, should there be a hashterisk next to her name?
Maybe a hashtag, but not an asterisk. Like Big Brother, as Peter says, is not fair at all. So I don't think there should be an asterisk. It's just another season of the game, and we should, I guess, just all enjoy it for what it's worth.
Okay. And what about you, Mikey? Asterisk next to the winner?
I don't think so. I mean, I guess it depends who gets to the end, to be honest. If someone gets there and there is an unfair twist that saved them or something, I might think otherwise, but no, I think it's really tough actually to probably survive all these twists.
Yeah, everybody was excited when Gary was going to win and he came back in the house when there was six people left. So I think it's fine. I think we'll be okay. And again, it'll depend on who the winner is. Again, if Peely wins the season, then let's revisit this question. But I think that if, you know, anybody else gets there and is a convincing, you know, has people vote for them, then I think it'll be good. Like here's where I think you put the asterisks. If the twist results in the final three and you have like two people that are good, like sort of like cancel each other out. And then Peely ends up like, sort of like as the spoiler there, like the, yeah, like the Ross Perot that sort of sneaks in and wins with like three votes or something like that. Then I think we have something to talk about.
Okay. Yeah.
Let's not go down there,
then,
Rob.
Then let's put the chairman of Twisto's head on a pike outside of Global and never speak of this again. Okay. But until that happens, I think we'll be okay. All right. So great job, everybody here tonight. Matt, tell us about what else is going on at CarterMatt.com besides your Big Brother Canada 3 coverage.
All right, yeah, thanks. We are doing all sorts of great TV stuff right now. We're about to get into upfront season, so that's when everything's getting renewed, getting canceled. I mean, we are doing Survivor exit interviews. We have those posted every Thursday. We've been doing those for a long time, and we love anybody who wants to come, read our stuff. We talk about almost every genre of TV under the sun. So, I mean, it's just stuff we're passionate about. And it's hopefully stuff that you guys are passionate about too. And yeah, thanks so much, Rob. I've been wanting to do this for a super long time.
Well, happy to have you on. And you're podcasting too?
I do a little bit of podcasting here and there. We do a podcast that we run on CarterMatt. We talk a lot about Arrow because I'm a big DC Comics on TV guy. And we do Mad Men a little bit. And one of my former Beating the Geek castmates, we do a podcast about Silicon Valley, but those are mostly just fun stuff.
Don't bury the lead there. I didn't mention it at the top of the show, but you were a former Beauty and the Geek contestant.
Yeah, clearly one of the beauties. No, yeah, I mean, that's one of those things, you know, it was a lot of fun, but you've talked about this, I think, in the past too, Rob, is that, you know, I'm always afraid to kind of lead with it, because then people kind of, you know, if they haven't seen the show, they'll just come up with some sort of question that I know they really don't mean, and it just gets kind of awkward.
Yeah, it's always a weird thing to bring up yourself, I think, if somebody doesn't know. It's, you know, it never comes off like you're a cool person when you do that. All right. and Matt, what's your Twitter handle?
My Twitter handle is at Matt Carter Media. I mean, luckily my name is pretty easy to spell.
Okay. Yes. Very good. That must be nice. All right. Havish, thank you again for joining us. Of course, you can follow Havish on Twitter. That Havish is at Havish_Patel. And Havish, what will you be tweeting about this week?
I'll be tweeting about the live feeds as usual. And Rob, thanks for having me on again.
Not Pacquiao Mayweather?
No, not necessarily.
Okay. All right. Well, then will you tweet about it now?
I might tune in now. I might tune in now and tweet about it.
I'll sell our pay per view, bro.
I want a round by round live tweet. Pacquiao Mayweather. In addition to live feed reporting, I need live, because I don't want to pay for the pay-per-view. I'm just going to follow you on Twitter that night. Okay?
All right.
All right. And Mikey, Mikey is at Mikey _ the _ bros are here tonight. Mikey _ down. Mikey, what do you plan on tweeting about this week?
I plan on tweeting about Havish, tweeting about many.
Keep us posted.
Tweeting about Havish is live tweeting, so look out for that.
All right, great stuff tonight, everybody. Fun chat about Big Brother. It's the calm before the storm, though, because next time we are going to have Derek to talk about what his take is. And I'm especially interested to hear what his take is on Bruno, who I feel like is sort of set up to be the Derek of this house. We'll call him the poor man, the very poor man. It's Derek. Something on the conversion rate isn't exactly the same there. And see if he's going to be surviving this week on Tuesday night as we take a look at what's coming. Also, then before we get to the triple eviction on Wednesday. So looking forward to that. Thanks, everybody. Have a great weekend. We've got so much coming up here tonight, even still, with our amazing race recap later on tonight with Jessica Lee. So check that out. And a million podcasts coming this month. So much to get to. Have a great night, everybody. We'll talk to you soon. Bye.